It's Monday, January 2nd. Happy New Year. This is VOA's International Edition. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Coming up, another deadly attack in Turkey hits Istanbul.
The administration also released additional evidence from the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security implicating Russian hackers.
The Obama administration slaps sanctions against Russia for alleged hacking. President-elect Trump has his own reaction. Also ahead, international students may think twice about studying in the United States and some familiar music for the new year. It's all on today's International Edition. Turkish security forces in Istanbul are engaged in a major manhunt for the gunman responsible for an attack on a nightclub celebrating the new year. At least 39 people were killed, nearly 70 wounded. Dorian Jones has more from Istanbul.
Funerals have already begun of those killed in the New Year's Eve nightclub attack, while Turkish security forces are searching Istanbul for the gunman responsible. Prime Minister Binali Yildirim denied initial reports the assailant was wearing a Santa Claus costume and said he left his gun at the scene before escaping. Some witnesses claim that there was more than one attacker, but Interior Minister Süleyman Soylu said their investigation indicated it was a lone gunman.
Bir terör saldırısıyla karşı karşıyayız. Hain, sivil insanlara yönelik.
He said, according to security works and information, the attacker is a single person wearing a coat and pants. He entered inside by raking the club with gunfire. There is intelligence that he changed his clothes before leaving. Efforts to identify the victims is continuing, along with their nationalities. Foreign nationals are among the dead. The Reina Club, located on Istanbul's Bosphorus waterway, is one of the city's most exclusive venues and popular with tourists. No group has so far claimed responsibility for the attack, but analysts say Islamic State will likely be the main suspect, given that civilians were the target. Turkish forces are currently engaged in a bloody battle for control of the Syrian town of Al-Bab, held by the jihadists. Istanbul was on high alert for the New Year celebrations, with over 17,000 police deployed. Last year, Islamic State carried out a series of attacks on Istanbul, including a deadly assault on the city's main airport. Dorian Jones, VOA News, Istanbul.
As the story continues to develop, you may follow it on our website at voanews.com. We have plenty to talk about in the social media area with the new year. And to do that, Lori London joins us in the studio. Hi, Lori.
Hi, Jim. Well, 2016 definitely did not end well for pop singer Mariah Carey. Her performance at the New Year's Eve celebration in New York's Times Square was somewhat of a disaster, you could say.
Uh-oh.
What happened was the audio track malfunctioned while she was lip-syncing, and it was some of her biggest songs on stage in front of millions of people. Now, that hindered her ability to sing properly or to lip-sync properly, and for a time she tried to muddle through it. She enlisted the help of the audience, but then she just at one point gave up and said, "It is what it is," and she said, "Well, it just don't get any better," and she literally walked off the stage. So then she took to Twitter to say, bleep, I can't say the word,
okay.
Happens. You can figure it out.
Yep.
And then she tweeted, have a happy and healthy new year, everybody. Here's to making more headlines in 2017. And as you can imagine, it did create a social media firestorm, mostly people dissing the performance with the hashtag Mariah Carey has been trending. I'll give you a couple examples of some of the tweets. Mariah Carey just gave 2016 the send-off it deserved with this massive train wreck performance in New York City. Here's another one. It appears that Mariah Carey's career was the final casualty of 2016. Hashtag rest in peace, or RIP, Mariah.
Ouch.
Here's another one. ISIS took credit. And then Russian sabotage Mariah Carey's New Year's Eve performance. A furious Obama deports Russian choreographer.
Okay, well, all tied into news headlines there, and I guess we can feel for Mariah a bit. Being in the broadcasting business, things do happen.
Yes, they do.
Speaking of Twitter and Russia, Donald Trump is not slowing up his love of the 140-character communication venue.
No, not at all. He started with a snarky New Year wish, saying, "Happy New Year to all, including my many enemies. And those who have fought me and lost so badly, they just don't know what to do. Love." Apostrophe. that got a lot of attention, but it quickly shifted because now he has a new topic trending, and that is his comments to reporters about having so-called information on election hacking that we don't know. He basically said he has information that no one else has. He's continuing this skepticism about the Russian interference in the presidential campaign, despite any consensus from intelligence. Here are a couple of responses to that. People are really, really going to town on this one. Former Obama advisor David Axelrod tweeted, "Wow, maybe at real Donald Trump has found the 400-pound hacker." Another tweeter writes, "Trump promises a revelation, much like he promised his tax returns and to have a press conference about divestment of his companies." Here's one more. "Trump promises a revelation, but he won't tell us about it today. You have to wait, because that's how a presidency-elect reality show works." And finally, Jim, it was really hard to find tweets defending Trump, but for the sake of balance, I did dig this one up from Reno Granite, who writes, "Follow hashtag Trump leaks for all the latest on the left's 4chan style Trump Russia conspiracy thread for fun."
Wow.
So I don't quite understand it, but that's what I found.
We're only a day into the new year, and that was a year's worth of tweets
exactly.
Right there, Lori. Thank
exactly.
you.
You got it.
Great stuff from Lori London and our social media segment. Be sure to follow our Twitter stream. International Edition is at @VOA_IE. Among the top stories that are trending in Asia, Kim Jong-un declares that North Korea is close to developing an ICBM. South Korea's Park denies corruption allegations. Rohingya refugees in Bangladesh vow never to return to Myanmar. China's smog cancels hundreds of flights and closes highways. China, meanwhile, says it will not let anyone make a fuss about its territory, according to its leader. You'll find these stories, many more, at the voanews.com website. And if you have a smartphone, take the news anywhere you go by using our VOA mobile app. This is International Edition. International Edition continues on VOA. Russian President Vladimir Putin says he will not expel U.S. diplomats in response to retaliatory measures imposed Thursday by U.S. President Barack Obama. And U.S. President-elect Donald Trump calls it a great move. We have more from Jusimen Oni.
"Great move on delay," President-elect Donald Trump tweeted Friday. "I always knew he was very smart." The tweet praised Russian President Vladimir Putin's refraining from retaliation for sanctions against 9 Russian intelligence agencies. With 3 weeks left in office, the Obama administration announced the sanctions for Moscow's interference in the 2016 presidential election. Obama also sent 35 Russian intelligence agents packing, giving them just 72 hours to leave the country, and shut down 2 Russian government-owned recreational compounds in Maryland and New York. Eric Lerber, who spoke to VOA via Skype, says while the sanctions can be easily undone by Trump, he faces a challenge in gaining support from Washington.
"Legally speaking, it really won't box Trump in. Trump can come in first day of office and take down these sanctions. He can undo the designations with the stroke of a pen. However, politically, it's going to be more difficult for him to do that, in large part because the administration also released additional evidence from the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security implicating Russian hackers in the attacks on the electoral process."
Despite Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov's televised call for retaliation, Putin says he will not respond until the new White House administration takes over. Russian expert Ariel Cohen says Putin is sending a message to the incoming president, Donald Trump.
"It's also wink, wink, nod, nod to Trump, saying, hey, Donald, I'm here to have good relationship with you. Come here and let's do something new and different. How long will it take?" People pointed out that both George W. Bush and Barack Obama tried to have good relations with Putin and failed.
The White House says the sanctions are not the end of the American response. Other measures will be taken, but not made public. Jesus Semeoni, VOA News.
We look closer now at President-elect Trump's reaction to alleged Russian hacking, and we do that with VOA Senate correspondent Michael Bowman in our studio.
Well, Jim, 2017 started much the way that 2016 ended, with President-elect Donald Trump essentially casting doubt on any role that Russia may have played in terms of cyber meddling, in terms of hacking, in terms of any influence at all in our election that we had in November. And it was particularly striking because he essentially ducked out of a New Year's Eve party to speak with reporters just hours after there was a convoy of Russian diplomats leaving a compound, heading out of the United States at the order of President Barack Obama, who has expelled 35 of them and ordered the shutdown of two Russian compounds in retaliation for this alleged cyber hacking. And from everything that I hear from my sources on Capitol Hill, at least on the congressional side, Republican and Democrat, there is a belief that the evidence is convincing, that in fact Russia did do something, that Russia was up to something nefarious.
Mm-hmm. Donald Trump did tweet in response to the actions that the Obama administration has taken, and Vladimir Putin as well, saying that he would not expel American diplomats in kind, that he would leave them in place, wait for Trump to come in. And Trump tweets, well, I think Putin's a very smart man, which really puts the president kind of under the bus on that one.
And to do it on Twitter, of course. And of course, if you've been following Donald Trump, you know that he is no stranger to Twitter. And there was even a period during the campaign where supposedly his staff was trying to keep him away from his Twitter account. But this is the way that Donald Trump operates. He is inclined to speak his mind and to do so with 140-character messages. I would suppose that in the grand scheme of things, if Russia does not expel U.S. diplomats, that is a good thing for the United States. But there's more to it than that. The understanding from those who look at Russia is that what Vladimir Putin is doing is simply putting things on hold until Donald Trump is president. He believes that he can have a productive relationship with Donald Trump. And who knows? Donald Trump could reverse all the orders of the Obama administration on many things, including the expulsion of Russian diplomats. So it's not as though Vladimir Putin necessarily simply turned the other cheek in an act of magnanimity.
Right. He's playing his hand.
He is playing his hand. And so, obviously, the tweet from Donald Trump calling him a bright man or a smart man is somewhat striking in that regard.
Donald Trump has mentioned that he will get a security briefing, the latest briefings on what Russia has allegedly been up to during the elections. And this also comes amid reports of a hack into a Vermont power grid computer, which apparently was not attached to the power grid, but had some information that the Russians were looking for.
Apparently there was some malware that has the same signature as that which U.S. intelligence officials examining the hacking of our election apparatus, they see certain similarities there. Here's what the Trump camp is arguing. Number one, that they have not been privy to all the evidence that the Obama administration has compiled. So, of course, it is not appropriate for Donald Trump to pile on until he has had a chance to look at it all. The second thing that they note is that what we have is allegations against Russia and the expulsion of 35 diplomats. It is fairly well established that China or some other actor hacked into U.S. federal government employee records, more than a million of them. And there was not even a slap on the wrist. There was barely a mention of it. There was no diplomatic protest over it. If, to the extent that it was handled by the Obama administration, presumably it was handled through quieter channels, not on the headlines of the New York Times or the Washington Post. So the argument that is being made by the Trump people is, look, this is a disproportionate reaction against Russia. Nothing has been proven against them, and to expel 35 diplomats on what may be some very strong-looking evidence compared to relative silence on the other side mm-hmm. when it comes to China and some of the other bad actors, that it looks out of whack to them, that it looks disproportionate.
Michael Bowman, with his perch at the VOA Senate booth, will be able to see quite a bit. And we're very happy to have you with us each and every week.
Always a pleasure, Jim.
I'd like to point out another story that is of interest. You'll find it at voanews.com. For the first time, the number of international students in the United States has topped 1 million over the past year. That's a lot of students coming to study here, but some educators and students say that comments critical of China and other countries by President-elect Donald Trump have the potential to affect international enrollment in U.S. universities and colleges. If you're thinking about coming to the United States to study, you might want to check out that story on our website at voanews.com. You're listening to International Edition. This is VOA.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of VOA's Encounter. Join me and two advocates from the world of politics, public policy, or academia debating critical and controversial issues of our day, bringing depth, perspective, and insight to the world around us. That's Encounter every Saturday and Sunday on VOA.
Hi there, this is Larry London, the host of Border Crossings. Nice to meet you. I would love for you to join us each and every day, Monday through Friday, on Border Crossings for requests, dedications, giveaways, and surprise guests. We've got some of today's biggest hitmakers coming into the studio to talk about their music. And all we're missing is you. So join us Monday to Friday, right here on Border Crossings. This is the Voice of America.
This is VOA's International Edition. We definitely hope that your new year is off to a great start, and as we send 2016 into the history books, VOA's Steve Norman shares some of the music, from the traditional to the avant-garde, that many of us like to listen to at this time of the year.
On New Year's Eve,
yeah.
I do believe. On New
and not a second later, she stay in the mix like a crossfader. It's about to go down, no elevator. Live for the moment, love in the air. She got me feeling like I don't wanna be a player. Real talk, so I don't wanna be unfair. Now watch the apple drop and celebrate the year. Yeah, I see you shining way from over there. And all the
Snoop Dogg is an American rapper and actor, and he's been a mainstay on the music scene for 25 years. Also heard on this cut of Snoop's New Year's Eve is singer-songwriter Marty James. Going a little more traditional with Frank Lesser's What Are You Doing New Year's Eve, which hit the top of the charts for the group The Orioles in 1949, contemporary artist A.J. Raphael and Tori Kelly do the honors.
Hey.
So, what are you doing for New Year's and stuff?
Actually, I don't really know yet. What about you?
Oh, yeah, I don't really know what I'm doing yet either.
Well, I just kind of wanted to ask. Maybe it's much too early in the game. But I thought I'd ask you just the same. What are you doing New Year's Eve?
Wonder whose arms will hold you good and tight when it's exactly 12 o'clock at night. Welcoming in the
rocker Bruce Springsteen doing the countdown to New Year's in 2009, And other rockers like the Eagles and U2 wrote original songs about New Year's.
Last night I was a happy man, but the way I feel right now, it's gonna be a
fucking New Year.
Fucking New Year. Oh, it's quiet on New Year's Day. The world is wild, it's on.
And then there's nothing like the New Year's favorite Auld Lang Syne, credited to the works of Scotland's poet Robert Burns, and sung here by American superstars of rhythm and blues, Aretha Franklin and Billy Preston, on Billy's 1987 TV show from Detroit.
Acquaintance be forgot and days of old.
And we're very happy to share the new year with you on International Edition. You can always find us at voanews.com no matter what year it is. Like us on Facebook at VOA Now. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at VOA_IE. Our director is Tracy Carter, engineer Aidan Utku. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a wonderful start to your year and the rest of the year ahead. Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The United States remains committed to protecting religious minorities, their communities, and their culture worldwide. This is an important expression of the values of the United States, in that we want to protect diversity of thought and belief, said Knox Thames, Special Advisor for Religious Minorities in the Near East and South Central Asia. This effort, said Special Advisor Thames, is of great importance in Syria and Iraq, where ISIL or Daesh seek to wipe out much of civilizational history.
In that work, we saw where Daesh was committing genocidal acts against Christians, Yazidis, and Shia Muslims. At the same time that they were killing people, they were also trying to erase any evidence that they ever existed, destroying their churches, their mosques, their cemeteries. And if we were going to defeat Daesh militarily, we also need to take steps to protect the places that matter to these people that they're also trying to exterminate. And so from that work, we started focusing on protecting the cultural heritage of religious minorities.
The U.S. State Department partnered with the Smithsonian Institution to engage religious minority groups directly, providing them with training and information on preserving cultural sites and objects that are at risk. Some of these preventative methods are simple but effective, said Special Advisor Thames.
There was a training that went on in northern Syria where churches were trained about how to stack sandbags in front of ancient frescoes and murals, so that if a mortar shell were to land, the explosive force would be dissipated by the sandbags. It wouldn't hurt the mural. And they had these very striking before and after pictures of a room full of sandbags. The bomb tragically hit. The sandbags are exploded, but the mural is fine.
Trainings also include information on protecting movable artifacts by creating digital documentation of the items that can be stored remotely. The Smithsonian Institute has created a special outreach program in Erbil, Iraq, that is dedicated to the effort. These communities that are so unique, that create this mosaic of culture and religion, said Special Advisor Thames, they can be pieced together, and protecting their common culture can be a way to do that.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.